Oh yeah, welcome back to Van Cleek Coulee. Tonight, joined by Rod Gilbank. Gilbank, tell me about what's going on with this year's edition of the, what is it, the movie? Is it what production company is that coming
from? This would be a film by Edward Cordial.
A film?
A film.
A film.
A film.
From
Edward Cordial.
Okay.
Directed by Eddie Earwig.
Okay. Also starring Edward.
Also starring Ed Earwig as the
Cordial?
One of the main characters.
Okay.
And
starring as one of the main characters. I think that's a given.
I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
Okay.
And there's another name he goes by, I think, but who knows?
Okay.
Whoever knows. Yeah. So this year it's a very good film. It's a little bit shorter than we've ever made it.
Well, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when I was asked to. And paid very handsomely to take part in this movie. I was told it was going to be about 20 minutes. Is it still 20?
It's still probably going to be about 20.
Oh, really?
25 minutes.
Is that going to have all of my lines in it? Am I going to
have?
It's going to be 14 minutes of Coolie, right?
You did take 84 takes.
I did not.
But it
you guys gave me lines midway through the day that I was supposed to film them, and I totally memorized them, as you knew, and I showed up and they were all changed. Everything was different. The green room wasn't there. Didn't have the food I wanted. Nothing to my satisfaction.
You just no.
We
had the donuts with the sprinkles, but you apparently wanted the donuts with the glaze.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, you're too picky on this stuff, man. You gotta scale it back a little.
I did
bit.
About 24 minutes worth of pure 100% comedy.
Yes.
Pure gold.
It was gold.
And you guys are going to use about how many minutes
we'll
of it?
We'll use probably somewhere around 5, maybe 4.
Really? Are
well,
you serious?
In all reality, yeah, your scene's pretty big.
Really?
Yeah, it's a turning point.
My what's pretty big?
Ooh.
I can't wait to see this. I honestly can't wait to see it.
Well, you know what's really amazing is we have to seriously thank Brendan for for filming. He does all of the Oktoberfest promos, and he also, you know, he just does this stuff for a living. He went on a big cross Canada tour, filming and doing photography for Sailor Jerry's, doing a cross Canada bike tour.
What's Sailor Jerry's?
Jailer Jerry's.
What is?
It's a rum. You never.
Oh,
heard of this?
Really? Yes. Oh, okay, yeah. Now I know Sailor Jerry's. Really, he did that?
Yes.
What did he do? Just follow people around Canada?
He was
getting,
in a van, while a van / truck, and while he followed several bikers that went from BC out to the St. John's, Newfoundland.
Really?
Yes. They took like a good month trip. It was just after I had mine, actually. And he did all the like professional camera work and all that stuff. Yeah, it's really wicked stuff. So he has all the like top of the line equipment. As any one-man show would, and totally killed it for our filming that we needed to get done. Yeah. We started doing these films on what was called a flip cam.
Is that like a flip phone?
It's almost? Not like a flip phone, but it was probably not long after the flip phone.
Okay.
But it was a really simple device. It was just a camera that had a record button. There's no zoom, no nothing, no fancy extension for a microphone, but it had a little USB thing. You'd flip it, and it would have a USB stick, so you just pop it in your computer and boom, it's right there. Simple as can be, easy to carry around. It's great for like someone who has a 2-year-old that's going to do goofy stuff at any moment's drop.
Yeah, America's Funniest Videos, right?
Oh, yeah, it's perfect for that. And the problem was it wasn't the greatest quality. It wasn't bad.
They were not too bad at all.
But not bad. For like we took every bit we could out of those cameras.
Now, this year, a stolen camera from the Montreal Canadiens press box, right?
Yeah, that's where we... Well, actually, we're not supposed to say that. But, yes, a very nice camera.
HD,
It's
fantastic. HD?
Yes, I believe
really?
It. I don't know.
Jesus.
I don't know. It looks
HD. See the sweat.
The other cool thing
brow.
Is it has just really cool effects on the camera. Like, you know when you're watching a movie or a documentary, they'll focus in on, like the closer thing will be very in focus, but the background is out of focus?
Yes.
Like, that is a lot of part, like, that's a big part in this film.
So really?
It actually looks extremely professionally well done. And just the audio is going to be killer on it. Every time we filmed outside or in a noisy place like the Windsor or something, we always had problems with that.
I bet. Yeah.
Now with these fancy microphones with the little hairy thingies on them.
Yeah. These things, you mean? Oh, the boom mics.
The boom mics that have like the little fluffy.
That's what they're called, the little hairy things.
Yeah. Dingleberries or something. That, anyways, the quality of stuff we got to do this and the writing that Eddie does.
Oh, yeah.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, second to none.
Yeah, I don't even have anything to do with it anymore. Like, I just act. I just Rod Gilbank it up.
Okay.
And
you do nothing, really.
It's awesome.
It's you.
It's awesome. I get to take credit. And at the beginning, it says Van Cleek Hillbilly Productions.
Really?
Along with Eddie Earwig Productions.
Really?
Which is one... I forgot.
Many awards.
It has a name. It's like one flip cat or something like that.
Oh, yes. I've seen that.
Yeah. It's
I wonder what that is.
It's actually, apparently, the cat is... one of his first cats in the family. It had like one eye in his family. And it was like one flip for sale. And the cat was called Flip.
Okay.
One flip for sale.
So that's this year's version of the...
This year's version of the Bo's Christmas movie.
Okay.
Which is called...
Lawless.
Lawless VKH.
Yeah.
But we can't, it's sort of unofficially the continuation of The Brew Meaning of Christmas, which is the first one we ever did.
Yeah.
So it is a continuation where I am obsessed with finding out the true meaning of Christmas.
Really? So it's part two of the first year's.
It is.
Oh, really?
It's Lawless fantastic. VKH.
Coming soon, December 6th.
Two idiot cops.
I can't wait to see it.
Idiot things to solve idiot crimes.
So by the end of the movie, is everything wrapped up? Everyone's happy. Everything's good. There's no secret.
Oh, like, of course.
There's a
happy ending. There's a happy ending where, you know what? Things are happy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good that things are happy.
Yep.
Speaking of happy, have you ever had a happy dream? Ever had a happy dream, woke up and it's just like, yeah, that's the kind of dream I like having. That makes me... really, really happy with myself that I'm being positive in my dreams. Things are going well.
Those almost all have to do with me winning money in
really?
The lottery.
Really?
Like the lottery ones.
Well, if you want to talk about what the meaning of dreams are, Gilbank, give me a second here. if you dream of a Cadillac, that suggests that you are driven to succeed. Did you know that?
Yeah, because you're driving a nice car. It obviously costs you a lot of money. You've had a lot of success in your business life.
Oh, wow. This is amazing. I was saying earlier to the listeners that I've had a dream quite a few times. Maybe I told you this before, but I've dreamed numerous times that I...
was driving a shitty green Honda.
It's not a shitty car. Why
you don't even have that car anymore, and you still defend it.
I still love it. I love that car. You're a mean person to me. You know, I don't like that. You don't have to be so mean to my car. I don't know why you are. But I've dreamed numerous times in my life that walking down the street, one way, shape, or form, I end up in the sewer.
Wow.
But like, in the sewer is lots of cake.
What?
I have no idea why. But in the sewer, there's lots of cake, and I'm just laying there on the cake, like having a sleep in on the cake.
This is really
weird.
It's
vanilla cake. And I know it's light and fluffy, and it's just fantastic, and I can smell the aroma. It's just fantastic. But right here, it says right in front of me, to see a cake in your dream indicates that you need to learn to share and allocate your workload instead of trying to do everything yourself. Wow, that totally...
That is you.
I should be
dreaming
of cake right now.
That is so much you. You really... You work your butt off, and you love cake. And
cake also symbolizes selfishness or the feeling of not getting your fair share. I should have pre-read this because this is kind of making me feel bad.
You never share your cake and you work too much.
More positively, the dream may represent your accomplishments and achievements. Consider also the metaphor, a piece of cake or some situation that is easy. I'll take it in the positive end.
That's a really weird saying, by the way, I think.
What is
that? Oh, it's a piece of cake. Not everyone likes cake.
No, that's right.
Sometimes, like, cake can be dry and boring, and you need, like, a glass of milk with it.
this should be an upcoming episode of Van Cleek Coolie, but sayings.
Oh,
sayings,
yeah.
Like half-assed.
Oh, heck yeah.
What is... Half, like, really, we all know what half-assed means. Like, you're doing
You're not really giving it really your all.
But half-assed?
Yeah, half-assed? Like, you're just...
Do you want a full-ass? You want a full-ass job?
Can you full-ass that job, please?
If you have a dream about a calculator, folks, that dream suggests that you need to thoroughly think through some problem-solving options and carefully evaluate your choices. Wow, that's kind of weird. If you dream about a calf, C-A-L-F.
So like a baby cow?
Yes, a baby
cow. For all the city listeners that are listening in.
It symbolizes immaturity and inexperience. You need to develop certain qualities. Hmm. Wow, that's kind of weird. Huh. What about, let's see here, a camel. If you see a camel in your dream, that means you need to be more conservative and you're carrying way too many responsibilities, burdens, and problems on your shoulders. Consider the common phrase, the straw that broke the camel's back. There's another one. That's a stupid one.
No,
how
dumb.
Many camels have broken backs?
And really, from one straw. Like, that's really like... Who's placing straw on a calf's, whatever animal's back, one piece of straw at a time?
Folks, do you have a dream you want us to analyze? Give us a call right now. And like I said before, the next caller, free 4-pack of Bose Lug Tread. Down at the brewery, come see me or Gilbank. 613-678-3327. This is Van Cleek Coolie Radio Show every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. here on 88.7 FM. The voice of the community. Yeah. At Van Cleek FM. Just give us some more.
Thank you. potholes in my lawn. Everybody's saying what to do when sucker lunatics start digging and chewing. They don't know that the soul don't go for that. Potholes in my lawn, and that goes for my rhyme sheet, which I concentrated so hard on. See, I don't ask for maximum security, but my dwelling is swelling. It lit my bud when I happened to fall into a spot where no ink or an ink blot was on the scroll. I just wrote me a new mode, but now it's gone, cause those suckers knew that I hate to recognize that every time I'm writing, it's gone. Potholes in my lawn. I found that it's not wise to leave my garden untended, cause eyes has now pardoned on laws of privacy. Thieving paws are after my writer's seat. I perceive that everyone's saying what to do when suckers are praying upon my well-guarded spreadsheets. Oh, why hell does it send up fleets of evildoers through the big hole to get to evildoers who dig holes, which leaves my lawn with lawn chew. I think I better plant traces to give clues, or better yet, call 911. And when they get here, I inform them I'm the plug one of the plug cheer and let them realize the reason for concern of the soul, cause we've come down with a case of potholes. Method. What to do when you dive the depth that I predict and plug tuning? It's a shame when you deny to claim that you stole my words of fame that I wrote in my rhyme sheet, which I concentrated so hard on. See, I don't ask for a barbed wire fence, B. My dwelling is swelling. It lit my bud when I happened to fall into a spot where no ink or an ink blot was on a scroll. I just wrote me a new mold, but now it's gone, cause those suckers knew that I hate to recognize that every time I'm writing, it's gone. Potholes in my lawn.
Cooking with Cooley.
Hey folks, thank you very much for tuning in again this week to Cooking with Cooley. I'm going to make a little dish in the microwave for you. I'm going to turn it on here. I'm going to warm up some milk and then I'm going to walk over to the refrigerator. And for all you people listening to Van Cleek Cooley at home, this week we will not have any problems. I'm going to stir this up here. I'm just going to stir this up a little bit. Everything will work out well, folks. Everyone's going to get a free treat. I am making a smoothie here this week at Van Cleef Cooley. Folks, come on in the door at 76 Main Street. Everyone get... Gilbank, watch the... Gilbank!
Podcast. I don't want to turn your brain. I think that a piece of candy, cause a piece of watermelon is what I need. And it's so strong, it's been so long since I've tasted that dear forbidden fruit. And my heart sighs as I realize that a watermelon time is getting due. And I'm a watermelon man. I can see you bright eyes, I can see your smile, I can tell by your supple song that you could drive a sane man wild. Your soul hell, the wind free there, and those big green eyes staring back at me. But it's just fine when you put your hand in mine and we lay in the shade of the big magnolia tree. And I'm a watermelon man. Why don't you come to the cabin and bring your watermelon patch? We'll dance in the middle. What more could I? Let's go find a cover, a back of summer's dream. I can't think of many others that can eat their watermelon the way that they play. And it's a new day. Watermelon's waste away, and the sun is starting to rise up over the hill. But it's okay, I haven't lost my appetite, and you know that I'm eating those wasted watermelons still. Yes, I am, and I'm a watermelon man. Yes, I'm a watermelon man. Lord, have my mom, baby, and I'm a watermelon man. Get it now.
.7 Van Cleek FM. The voice of the community in Van Cleek Hill. We'll be right back.
Hey, Gilbank.
I'm just playing the trumpet over here.
That's me on the electric accordion.
Electric accordion.
Do you see me there? I'm playing the guitar.
Oh, there you are. Yeah, okay.
Look at me. Hey, folks, that's me, Van Cleek Cooley, on the guitar.
Yeah, I'm playing the trumpet, too. This is me playing the trumpet. I'm not even using my mouth.
No. You're fantastic.
I know. It's hard to bend over.
This is The Eye of the Hurricane by Herbie Hancock. Herbie Hancock, one of the most
hilarious
sampled
names.
Yeah. Wasn't going to think about it that way. One of the most sampled gentlemen on earth. But what I wanted to say is, folks, we're talking about dreams tonight on Van Cleek Cooley. Van Cleek FM, the voice of the community.
The voice.
Here in Van Cleek Hill, 88.7 FM. Jean Sarazan Radio on the Wheels of Steel. We are talking about dreams tonight. Have you ever had a scary dream, a death dream? Is that what you were saying?
A dream where either you or someone dies. Well, I've had a few of the dreams where you have to make a terrible, terrible choice. So I've had the dream where for some freaking reason I was in like one of those like ski lift things, like the big ones where you kind of everyone's sitting inside of one.
Oh, gondola.
Gondola.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a pizza.
Okay. Yeah, like a pizza. And for some reason, something happens, and I do remember this being located in Hawkesbury for some reason.
Oh, of course, gondola
in Hawkesbury. Yeah. And I just remember I was holding on to two people, and just two people who were close to me, and I was like, I can't hold on to both of you. And just being like torn, like just like, what do I do? And needing to choose if someone made it or not. And I'm like, this is an absolutely terrible, terrible dream. That's one of those ones where you wake up and you're just like, I feel like a bag of dirt.
To see someone dying in your dream signifies that your feelings for that person are dead, or that a significant change loss is occurring in your relationship with that person. Alternatively, Rod, you may want to repress the aspect of yourself that is represented by that dying person. You know what that means?
No.
No, me neither. If you see a stranger die in your dream, then it implies that you're feeling detached from the changes that are happening around you. Okay. To smell death in your dream. I didn't know you could smell things in your dream.
Yeah, I didn't really recognize that either. I also don't know what the smell of death is.
Well, it's sort of
meatloafy,
deathy. It's got that definite smell
dense
of deathy
death smell to it.
There we go.
Smell of death.
Cooley explaining a word by using the same word. It's very deathy. Yeah, very very deathy.
A thick death kind of death.
Folks, if you want your dream analyzed, give us a call at 613-678-3327. A 4-pack of lug tread to the caller that calls in. I don't know what it is. I know we have listeners right now. They're racked up on the computer. I don't know why people don't phone in. It's not like we're going to make fun of you. We're going to make fun of things with you. But,
You're probably going to make more fun of me.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm talking to the listener here. They're going to make fun of me. That's usually how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing they need to be saying is, shut up, Gilbank. Am I right?
Shut up, Gilbank.
There you go.
If you have a dream that you see decoration or you decorate, a dream that you're decorating suggests that you're trying to mask or cover something up. You may be putting up a front instead of addressing the core matter at hand, Gilbank. Anything else? What sort of dream have you had? A bicycle, right? Have you had, a baboon. If you see a baboon in your dream, I don't know how that came from bike, but if you see a baboon in your dream, it suggests that you may need to be more expressive with your feelings. Now, how does that come from that, a baboon?
That's insane. Because you know what? I probably just watched like a movie like Monkeying Around or something. It's probably why there's a baboon in my dream. Like, if I watch a movie, usually that's what... Like you were saying, write something down before you sleep?
Yeah.
If I watch a movie...
That's what you dream about?
Then I will often dream about something like that.
Huh, that makes sense. If you have a dream about a baby carriage, you know what a carriage is? Like a baby stroller?
Yeah, it's a stroller.
In your dream, that symbolizes your desire for a family or a longing for a baby, Gilbank.
It's
Didn't
funny.
You tell me you had one of those recently?
Well, I mean, a baby, yeah, but that was a Mexico thing. This is actually something, it's kind of funny that you've read that.
Hilarious, here. Yeah.
I've heard this before.
What's that?
I've heard that the whole baby carriage thing.
Well, it kind of makes sense.
It does make perfect sense.
It doesn't make sense that if you see a baboon, it means you're repressing your feelings. That's kind of dumb.
So you need to express yourself through this monkey.
Here's one. If you dream about a bagel, it suggests that you want to have a bagel. Like, that makes more sense. Totally. It's not actually what it says.
Well, wait. Badminton. Something says badminton.
Badminton?
Yeah, badminton was it.
Do I see that?
It's right there.
To play or watch a badminton game in your dream indicates that you need to make a quick decision.
Oh, quick.
Or else opportunities will pass you by. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, because you got to react quick.
Huh.
Well, I'm going to have to focus when I have those dreams then. Like, oh, shoot.
Wow. I just dreamed of badminton. I better quickly decide if I want to subscribe to that National Geographic magazine again.
If you dream of a balaclava, you know what a balaclava is?
Yeah, that's like an Indian woman or something? What's a balaclava?
Is a toque that goes down over your face and only leaves.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What are you talking?
I was thinking
about
like, you know, like where in the Eastern countries a woman has to wear like a full body kind of cover.
Yeah, it's not that.
What's that?
That's a. You're putting me on. I can't remember what that's called.
I thought
it's not a balaclava.
I thought that
at
was
all.
Okay. Well, okay. So if a you have skier a dream would of a, wear a balaclava.
Yes. Well, or someone robbing a bank.
Oh yeah.
Right. If you have or you're wearing a balaclava, or if you've seen this in your dream, it refers to a sinister or painful secret you're keeping.
Ooh.
This secret is creating a burden for you and becoming too hard to keep. Alternatively, wearing a balaclava refers to your desire of anonymity in a situation, meaning secret. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hey, folks, if you want to chat with us or if you want to just keep listening, 88.7 FM. The voice of the community here at Van Cleek Cooley, Van Cleek FM. Rod Gilbank, what do you got to say?
I was wondering what the phone number is.
613-678-3327.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to call in.
Oh, cool,
oh, wait,
man.
Oh, wait. I don't have to.
No, you're right here.
Oh. Oh, well.
I could give you a free 4-pack, but...
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Probably shouldn't.
That would be wicked.
I can't afford it.
We could bring it in here next week.
Oh, we should too.
Oh, that'd be cool.
If there was only a brewery or somewhere close we can get beer for this radio program.
It's too bad.
Folks, keep listening. Got any requests? Give me a call too. My name is Sean Cooley, Van Cleek Cooley.
You are Captain Kirk?
I am Captain Kirk.
We've gone back to the 20th century, and you're Captain Kirk with this incredible power at your disposal.
Yes.
We have a world down there that Roddenberry and Shatner live on, which is unfair, intolerable, full of violence, bias, and so on.
Yes.
What would you as Captain Kirk do to change this?
Let them suffer. I mean it. If they can't work out their problems, if Captain Kirk and the Enterprise has to solve their problems, we'll have to make frequent visits. Seriously.
Dagger, 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 right on that. Dagger, 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 right on that thing, guys. Yeah. Dagger, 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 two. Three. Dagger, dagger, dagger. Yeah. One, two, you know, but get out.
The friendly reminder of feedback to turn the speakers down. Just got a text message from, I'm just going to leave it anonymous for now.
Anonymous.
Anonymous. Yeah, anonymous. Speaking of moose, what if you're having a dream, a constant dream, a repeater dream in your life that you have bears looking in your window?
Grizzly bears, like that kind of bears?
Well, I'm assuming it's not teddy bears.
Yes.
Or like, you know, like the country bear jamboree. Not bear naked, not Paul bears. No, nothing like that. Like, I'm assuming a black bear.
Not the Bernstein bears.
Not the Bernstein bears, no.
Okay.
Looking in your window, which I'll just say right off the bat is kind of funky. But I'll read this out right now. To see a bear in your dream represents independence, strength, death, and renewal, and or resurrection. Bears are symbolic of the cycle of life.
The cycle of life.
You may also be undergoing a period of introspection. Introspection.
Yeah.
And thinking. In particular, if you see a bear in your grandmother's house, wow, that's kind of weird, then it implies that your grandmother is a dominating figure in your life. The dream may also be a pun on bear, B-A-R-E. Perhaps you need to bear your soul and let everything out in the open.
I think if you see a bear in your dream in your grandmother's house, you gotta stop reading Goldilocks before bed.
Yeah, that is kind of weird, though. A bear in your dream in your grandmother's house. Or there is a situation where you just need to grin and bear it. To dream that you are being pursued or attacked by a bear denotes anger and your uncontrolled aggression. You are feeling trapped and watched. Perhaps you are in a threatening situation.
Someone is overbearing them?
Overbearing, yeah. Well
what?
Done. Or domineering and possessive in a relationship. To see a polar bear in your life. Yep, sorry, in your dream, signifies a reawakening.
The great white bear of the north.
Oh, and by the way, we just got a text. It's a burqa that an Eastern Indian woman wears.
Oh, there you go.
Burqa. A burqa. Yeah. God, I wish I would.
I thought that's what you said.
No, I said a balaclava.
No, I'm pretty sure you sneezed and said burqa.
Burqa.
That's what happened.
Anyways, folks, Van Cleek Cooley, text me if you want, I guess, if you have my phone number. 613-678-3327 is the phone number here at the radio station. And we're going to play some more funk music. We're going to play some this and that. We're going to dissect your moods here at Van Cleek Cooley. Play some funk right now. We're going to come right back. I got someone asking me a question on email. I'm going to answer it on the air. Back in a moment.
Mama. don't turn you on. You really ought to leave it alone. So many people in the same old boat. Don't you think it's time to try a different stroke? Got something good, you ought to knock on wood. When things get rough, wow, you ought to give it up. If it don't turn you on, you ought to leave it alone. Really wanna change, but they keep on doing that same old thing. Yeah, yeah, you got something good, you oughta knock on wood. And if it's right, you wanna hold on tight. If it don't turn you on, you oughta leave it alone. Turn you on, step back, leave it alone.
ever should decide to go away.
Alright, the line I played that song for, don't go chasing polar bears.
Yeah.
That is for young lady Louise. Don't go chasing polar bears. Coming up, we have some average white man in the past tonight. We've listened to some George McRae, some JD, some Herbie Hancock, Willis Allen Ramsey with one of my favorites, Watermelon Man. I play it every second, third week. I love that song. Heard some Cooking with Cooley. The Cooking with Cooley disaster.
I'm still cleaning this up over here.
I know. It was kind of disastrous. The milkshake, the smoothie that I made didn't really work out.
How did you get this on the ceiling?
We heard some third bass off the top of the beginning show, really. I do radio.
The top
radio.
The top of the top beginning of the show.
Yeah, I'm going to be all right.
The top bottom half around the corner of the bottom show.
We heard some Eric B. and Rakim, some Public Enemy, Tribe Called Quest, House of Pain, some Souls of Mischief. Right now we're talking over some Paul McCartney. Ever heard of him? He was in a band called The Beatles.
Paul McDonald? Who?
No, what? Paul McCartney.
Paul McDonald. Kirby.
Yeah, that's right.
Kirby?
That's right.
Kirby McDonald. I know Kirby McDonald.
Kirby McDonald.
Yeah,
he's the old farmer.
He lives over on Home Street.
Coming up, we got some Average White Band, some DJ Food, and Check My Machine, also by Paul McCartney, but it sounds like a hip-hop song, believe it or not.
DJ Food, isn't that you?
DJ Food? No, it's not. Shut up. What are you saying?
Because I like food. You like to DJ.
Here's some DJ Food. Let's play it right now. Going to come back at least one more time before the end of the show. Wrap things up. Gilbank, thanks a lot for coming in, talking about dreams.
Oh, yes.
Next week, maybe we should talk about sayings.
I love sayings.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because you like sayings.
Yeah, I love sayings.
All right. Here's DJ Food with Juice.
You know what I'm saying.
Frankly Cooley.
Juice.
Keep doing that, Gilbank.
Well, you know, I am a professional.
Keep not turning down the monitors. Can you believe that's Paul McCartney with Check My Machine? I played that numerous times on the show as well. I honestly can't get over that that's Paul McCartney. I heard that on a CBC documentary, not with Gian Gomeshi, but someone months back saying, yeah, he came in with a song called Check My Machine. They played a little clip of it, and I was like, That's freaking hip hop right there. That was like 1979. Like, wow. That's hip hop. That's what Paul McCartney
that's
was doing.
It's crazy that that's from 1979.
Lots of respect for Paul McCartney with the way he produces music still to this day. He does use reel to reel, and he will record something and cut it and splice it. I can't really speak to what that whole technology is. It was a little bit before my time, and he tapes it and loops it and blah blah blah, and he keeps it going. He did a television program, and he did it live with an audience in front of him, and it was amazing, like what he came up with, what he looped, and I'm like, wow, full on. Like, I thought it was George Martin, but I guess he either picked it up from him or he was involved with it early in those days. You don't know what I'm talking about, eh, Gilbank?
Nothing at all. Pre-70s, like, cars were invented then, right?
Yeah, we had credit cards back then.
Wow.
Gasoline.
No.
Air.
Oh.
Yeah, we did.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I knew that would bring you in there.
How could I resist?
Yeah.
You're just triggering memories. I can remember playing in the CBC studios with a bunch of musicians, like on weekends or late at night when you know, the brass wasn't around. And there were tape decks in the studios, four of them against the back wall. So we would thread a tape into the first deck and then across all the tape, the playback heads of the three machines beside it. And then the take-up reel would be on the fourth machine.
Oh, really?
So we would record on the first machine, playback, 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 playback. And all that would be mixed back into the first tape again.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that's, we get that kind of really, really crisp, clear delay, you know. And if you ran it at 15 inches per second, it would be pretty fast. It'd be pretty quick.
That echo.
And it would just recycle all the music they were playing.
Nice.
It was really, yeah, it was good, the good days of analog.
Analog radio. Yeah. Analog recording, sorry.
Yeah.
The early days. What year would have that been at CBC?
Late 70s, maybe early 80s.
Yeah.
Around there, yeah.
A lot of experimental stuff going on.
Yeah.
People still smoking in the studios.
Oh, yeah. That went on to the...
They shut down the smoking in the CBC studios.
In the new broadcast center, except for Peter Zoskin.
Yes, exactly.
He had his own smoking room.
Oh, he had a room. I thought he could smoke anywhere.
No. He had to go to the smoking room. But I mean, it was the only one in the building.
But he was the only one allowed to smoke in the room?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. That's special just privileges there, eh?
I know.
Was it like the bathroom, or was it the Peter Zowski smoking room?
I never went in it. I don't know. I don't think there was a toilet in there, but who knows?
with a
ceiling fan, right?
Yeah. So speaking of toilet, we've come to the end of this show, Gilbank.
Yeah.
Royal flush.
So yeah, that's exactly what this show has been. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. Yeah. Like, just jeez, toilet, really? Gilbank.
Cooley would be really upset if he heard what you were saying about a show.
Cooley would?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You.
Who? So tonight we've been talking about dreams. We've talked, all over the place. We could bring this one back again. We could liven it up. We could get more people calling in, kind of trying to put the guilt trip on people right now. Also, we could get more guests. But dreams are one of those things, folks. We all have them. We don't all remember them. We don't want to talk about them. Not all of us do, anyways. They mean something, allegedly, if you want them to. You can go online like I did tonight and kind of dissect your dreams. To me, what dreams are just that, just dreams. There's something that you're thinking about that's like letting your mind wander, which is really what it is. I will, though, say what I said right off the top of the show is, if you ever have a dream that something bad happens to someone, you keep them very tight the next day. And just like my mother always did, if you have a dream about fire, you stay out of the kitchen the next day, which my mother always did. I remember it very well because my dad would be pissed off. Mom had another dream about fire last night and we're eating McDonald's tonight.
That's a great way to get out of cooking, isn't
it? Yeah, I had a dream about fire last night.
Yeah. You
can't do it.
I also had a dream that the bathroom was really slippery, so I can't clean any of it.
Yeah. Can't go to the bedroom. I had a bad dream in the bedroom. Anyways, folks, next week, don't know what we're going to talk. We were kind of throwing around talking about maybe sayings.
Yeah, like weird sayings, like top of the morning.
Take one for the Gipper.
Oh, yeah. Two birds, one stone.
Yeah, two birds, one stone. What else? Do things half-assed.
Half-assed.
It just doesn't really make sense.
I'm going to do things full-assed from now on.
Tonight, Mom and Dad, sorry about this. I won't do half-ass things. We're going to do full-ass things from here on. Anyways, folks, we're over time here. This has been the Van Cleek Cooley radio program. Thanks very much, Jean. And
Thanks for letting me join too, buddy.
Hey, no problem, buddy. Thanks for coming. Good to have you back.
Oh, yeah.
Talking over some JD right now. I'm going to let it flow out. This has been the Van Cleek Cooley radio program. Every week, 8 p.m. till 10-ish. Then we start cleaning up. My name is Sean Cooley. See you next week on 88.7 FM, the voice of the community here in Van Cleek Hill.
We talk all day. It's like Dumb and Dumber North, you know. Move over. Yeah.
Speaking of that, when does that movie play? Is that going to be in Brando?
Oh, yeah.
It'll be in Brando in like a week or two.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah. As soon as it's like right at the end of being probably there, we steal the VHS copy. Yeah, and they finally finish getting one off their iPhone and they figure out how to insert it. So they're all cassette tapes.
Where is that?
Well, they end up playing in Kirkland now.
So oh, I see.
Grenville's
got a digital projector.
Oh, yeah.
They've gone digital. Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
There's a guy. I love those. You know, silent. We were doing a show years ago about movies or something like that.
He's I all wet. If you didn't know, you better ask somebody.
The slap of the film? Oh, yeah.
I couldn't find it.
Huh?
God, that pissed me off.
That's a really classic.
We didn't laugh so much. And the way how we do it. I didn't know how to search for maybe a projector.
Yeah. But were you looking for the running film sound too? Like the frames going through the projector?
Yeah.
Yeah, classic film sound. Maybe it's just not around anymore. That's a real analog sound from the old days.
But I mean, you can pick up like records.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You get the sound of plugging in your Apple every time. Your Apple iPhone. You get that sound.
Yeah,
please. Oh. Yeah, have you been to the Grenville?
No,
sure. Why? It's not bad at all. They redid the chairs.
Yeah.
They turned it into sticky doors. What was that?
Oh, that was Jordan.
Okay.
Most old cinemas are like that, but they really cleaned up. Like, I don't know if they did both sides or just one side.
Surprisingly decent for the air. But the whole thing is, if you go, you're spending half the price you would.
Oh, that's
absolutely.
And do they search you on the thing? Do you bring your own popcorn?
No, they do have a little. But I mean, they won't. Like, if they won't.
Rochester, I think it was 3D stewardesses or something, and I got carsick from it. I mean, it was semi-porno, but just these legs and arms coming at you.
that sort of thing, 3D,
yeah.
Throws my life right off.
Yeah,
yeah,
some stuff really sensitive
really,
to it.
Really throws me off. Oh, that was fun. That was really fun. I love it. It's just, yeah. I guess you know.
I noticed.